Hey, it's Tony Bruschi. If you love this podcast, be sure to check out one of our other podcasts, Real Ghost Stories Online, jam-packed with real ghost stories told by real people every single day of the week. Check it out. Search Real Ghost Stories Online. Press subscribe. Here's a preview portion of one of our bonus episodes for our premium subscribers, or we call them EPPs, extra podcast people, of Real Ghost Stories Online. Take a listen. Search Real Ghost Stories Online and press subscribe while you listen. Enjoy. Discovering something new for a lot of us is a good thing. It's exciting. It's always good to learn new things, expand your horizon, expand your thoughts, expand your thinking. It's a positive thing in most cases. Even scary negative things can sometimes be that once the incident has concluded. On today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online, EPP bonus episode number 403, by the way, that's exactly what happens in our first story. After a tragic childhood trauma, one little girl is left with not only the scars of an accident, but an encounter with the dead. And then we hear about a young couple that's trying to save some money, moves back in with the in-laws. I think it'll be a good time. Great opportunity to save that money for their future. Only to discover that that place of peace is not so peaceful. It's a home infested with spirits. Spirits that may not necessarily want them living back at home. Those stories and more today in EPP bonus episode number 403. Of Real Ghost Stories Online. My name's Tony Bruschi. Stay with us. Sometimes we have to turn back around. Turn back around when we're going down a path in life that maybe isn't the best, when we're driving down the road in a literal sense and realize this isn't the right place. Let's go back and reconfigure. And in some cases, when seemingly our souls leave our body and we start traveling to other dimensions, oftentimes in a near-death experience after some sort of traumatic event, sometimes people are met by loved ones or just other entities in a very peaceful place. And the message is not, hey, come on over. It's turn around, go back. Not time yet. And there's not much choice in the matter. Turn around and go back. More life to live. That's what happens in our next story. To a young woman. Twice in a matter of just a few weeks, surviving very traumatic brain injuries. Take a listen. Hello, Tony and gang. I'd like to start off by saying thank you for the work you put into bringing this podcast together. I enjoy listening to you and all your hosts. You have something unique and fun you bring to the podcast, especially the voice of Casey Kasem. I want to share with you what I consider to be a near-death experience that happened when I was 8 years old. To begin my story, I need to establish some background information leading up to this experience. I grew up in a small rural community. My nearest neighbors to my left were my maternal grandparents. I was very close with my grandma. And to my right was my mom's brother and his family. So my cousins and siblings were always around to play with, and when family members were visiting my grandma, I could see them from my backyard and would run up to grandma's house to play. It was an ideal childhood, in my opinion, because I was never lonely, and my home was surrounded by lots of fields and a river to play in. It was the perfect setting to have all sorts of adventures. In July of 1996, I turned 8 years old. This was a special birthday for me because in my religion, you get baptized when you're eight. For this birthday, my parents had given me a special dress that I had been begging for. It was forest green, which was my favorite color, and was made of lace. I loved that dress. Please keep this detail in mind for later. 1 month after my birthday, which was 1 week prior to my baptism, I saw my aunt and her fiancé pull into my grandma's house. This particular aunt was very young and fun, so as soon as I saw her pull in, I called my friend over and we ran up to grandma's to visit with everyone. My grandma had a very bouncy rectangular trampoline in her yard, and I'd asked my aunt's fiancé to come outside and bounce with my friend and I. This was something my cousins and I did often because the trampoline was extremely bouncy and so much fun. We'd sometimes jump off the roof of the house and land on the trampoline and go flying in the air. Today's safety standards were not applicable at that time. My aunt's fiancé was hesitant to bounce on the trampoline, but he wanted to impress my aunt, so he obliged. He called us to the middle of the trampoline and started bouncing us so high that we could almost touch the tree branches and the surrounding trees. We were having the time of our lives. However, in an instance, I started to have a worrisome feeling in my gut that something was about to go very wrong. As soon as my aunt's fiancé stopped bouncing us to catch his breath, I tried to move away from the middle of the trampoline. He thought I was trying to be funny, so he followed me to the other side and started bouncing again. I went flying in the air. I knew this bounce was bad because time started to move slow, in very slow motion. While I was up in the air, and I heard a voice tell me, "You're gonna get hurt." I came crashing down, hit the back of my head on the metal trampoline frame. Everything seemingly moved in slow motion, including when I hit the frame. I couldn't feel anything. It was almost as if I was being slowed down by someone or something to reduce the impact. At the snap of a fingers, after I landed, I was lying in the spring. Time started to move in real time again, and I could suddenly feel all the pain. I laid in place for a moment in shock as my aunt and fiancé and my friends started rushing towards me in a panic. I knew the damage was bad by their reaction as I began to sit up. Although it was the back of my head that hit the frame, there was so much blood. It came pooling down my forehead as I sat up. I started to cry and my aunt's fiancé went into panic mode. He picked me up over his shoulder and started to run towards my house to alert my parents. My mom was upset and called another neighbor to help. This neighbor worked as a paramedic and rushed over to examine my injuries. Growing up in a small town that was far away from everything meant that we did not make trips to the hospital or doctor unless it was absolutely necessary. The paramedic neighbor assured my mom that everything looked okay and I just needed to rest with an ice pack on my head. A hospital trip was not necessary. It's still a running joke in my family that my aunt's fiancé, now my uncle, cracked my head open the week before my baptism. He doesn't find it very funny, but I like to give him a hard time. Fast forward a few weeks later, after my baptism had taken place, I was sitting in Sunday school. My grandma just happened to be our teacher for that week. It was the best when my grandma was the teacher because she loaded us up with candy and everyone referred to her as Teacher Grandma. The Sunday school lesson, my grandma had brought a movie to the class to teach us about the importance of donating blood and how this can be an act of service. Prior to this moment, I had never passed out at the sight of blood before, but as you remember, I had just survived a pretty severe head injury and now had issues with fainting spells. Yes, still to this day, 24 years later. As we're sitting in class watching the blood donation movie, I started to feel very ill to my stomach and my vision was becoming blurry. I never felt this way before, but the nausea was making me feel like I was going to vomit. I realized I needed to tell my grandma I wasn't feeling well so I could walk out of the classroom. I was standing up to tell her I was sick, but everything went blurry as soon as I stood up. The next thing I know, I'm standing in what appears to be a field of wheat. It was very bright at first, and then my eyes adjusted. I realized I did not feel sick anymore, had no idea where I was or how I got to this place. I could hear in the distance behind me there were people panicking, yelling, "She's hurt! She's hurt!" But it did not seem to matter. I was completely at ease, even though I somehow knew the panic was related to me and more focused on how I got into this field I was standing in. I could see in the distance beyond the field that there was a beautiful green area with lots of trees and plants. There was a distinct line in which the field ended and the green area began, and I knew instinctively that although it was alluring, I should not go there. As I'm staring in the direction of this green area, I noticed a man dressed in white, walking out of the green area across the line into the field. I knew this man was headed toward me and felt that everything was okay. No reason to fear him, but that I needed to wait for him. I do not know how to explain how time was moving, but I recognize a sensation of it from when I had my head injury on the trampoline. Everything seemed to move in its own pace, slow motion, yet not slow at all. Every detail was accomplished. This man was far away from me, and I knew it would take him a while to arrive, but yet it seemed like he made it to me within only a few moments. In a way, it was like he was walking through portals and able to cover a lot of ground within a short amount of time. It's the best way I can explain it. He'd be in one spot, walking at a regular pace, then pass through some sort of portal and be much closer in an instant. As he approached me, I remember thinking that he did not look familiar to me, but something about his presence was familiar. I assumed he was someone I did not know in this life, but perhaps another. He began to speak to me without moving his mouth, but I could hear him with absolute clarity, through mind and presence. He said to me, "Brooke, what are you doing here? You have to go back to your body." I was very confused when he said this. I remember looking down to the lower half of my body. I realized I was still wearing my forest green lace dress that my parents gave me for my birthday. I'd worn it to church that day. My body still looked like my body. What did he mean I had to go back to my body? That's where we're going to pause the preview portion of EPP bonus episode number 403 of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you want to hear the rest of the story, become an extra podcast person, an EPP, sign up at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. There, you'll get access to all 403 bonus episodes in their entirety. You can binge away on them. You also get our archive of episodes, which is literally the world's largest audio archive of ghost stories, as well as advanced episodes of the show. Get this, all of it commercial free. That's right, no ads. So if you like the show and you enjoy listening on a regular basis, go that route. Get no ads. Binge away, ad-free. All the latest episodes, all the EPP episodes, everything is there for you. Let's go to ghostpodcast.com, sign up there, or through patreon.com/realghoststories. Check it out and help keep Real Ghost Stories Online alive. Thank you.